Welcome to Weekend Magazine, the program where we examine the people, issues, and events that impact New England. I'm Matthew Fake. We know many of you have been listening to life-changing radio for many years, and having listened for this length of time, have been made aware of new station acquisitions. Well, that time has come again, in the midst of unlikely circumstances such as we're experiencing now. In spite of it, we are pleased to let you know we've acquired WILD AM 1090 in Boston. We'll let our leader, Bill Blount, president of Life Changing Radio, explain how the acquisition came about, as he speaks here with Life Changing Radio's Al Kim.
Welcome to Life Changing Radio. I'm Al Kim, and joining us today is Bill Blount. He is the founder and president of Life Changing Radio, our parent company that runs WSDK in Hartford, as well as several locations all across New England. We welcome you, Bill. How are you?
Well, thank you, Al. It's always good to be with you, and always good to be able to share good news.
Yeah, so this is a very interesting month because you have some interesting news to report. Now, Life Changing Radio has about seven or eight locations all across New England. We've been broadcasting across New England, well, in Hartford for 10 years, but for Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Milford, Connecticut for longer than that.
Actually, it goes back to 1978. That's when the very first station came online, WARV. That's when I was a young man. Over the years, we've slowly added different stations. And what we're going to be talking about today is a new station that we're going to be involved with. And that will be our eighth full power station and giving us 12 different frequencies that we broadcast on really throughout New England.
So my knowledge is somewhat limited, but starting and buying and searching for a radio station anywhere, anytime, is a pretty arduous process.
Well, there is also another dimension to this, Al, and I don't want to diminish that. It really, God opens the doors with these things. You know, we do all we can do, but ultimately God opens and closes the doors. And I don't think this station is any exception to it. If we had the time, I could give you stories for each station.
I'm sure.
And you would be really amazed at how God put some of these things together. So, It's really the Lord that does these things. I do as much as I can on my side, but ultimately God is the one that opens and closes the doors. And he did open this particular door. And I guess we're going to be talking about that a bit in the city of Boston.
Yeah. So this is pretty impressive. WILD Radio, which has been around there in the Boston area for a long time. And starting this November, I guess the plan is to be launching a Life Changing Radio affiliate in Boston proper.
Yeah, actually, the station began back into the 1940s. It was actually one of the premier stations in Boston back in the early days of AM radio. For the last, about three quarters of a year, the owners that have it now signed the station off. So it's actually been silent over 9 months. The FCC gives you 12 months to be silent before they delete the license. So the station's in what I would call a distressed situation. And that, of course, enabled us to be able to come into a major market like Boston at an affordable price. And so some of the things we have to do on the station, really, there are three issues that we've had to deal with. Number one, as I just mentioned, the station license is in jeopardy because it's still off the air. Number two, the owners lost their tower lease, which means that they don't have any place to broadcast from. And number three, the transmitter doesn't work. So, we've done some work and we've secured an extension to the existing lease so we can stay where we are, at least for the time being. Secondly, we've ordered parts to repair the transmitter. And as soon as we go on the air, then the time clock stops with the FCC. And then the license is secure. And so we actually do plan to go in and start the station before that date. We hope to be on actually in the middle of September here fairly quickly. And so the interesting thing about this station is it's not really a standalone station. We're going to be actually broadcasting 100% of WVNE, which is our station in Worcester, Massachusetts. And this station, of course, is in Boston. So this will really be a Massachusetts kind of partnership with those two stations. So I'm in the process of talking to our programmers and that type of thing to make sure that they know what's going on. and are happy to be moving into Boston. And most of them are very happy because, as you know, Boston is the largest city in New England by far. And so it really is a great expansion for our programmers as well.
When you look at New England and the history of life-changing radio broadcasting for all these decades, specifically to the New England area, besides the obvious, why is Boston important to you and why is New England important to you?
Well, New England's important to me and my wife, Debbie, because we're both from New England. This is where we were born. We grew up here. We're part of the New England culture. And as you know, being in New England isn't like any other part of the country.
Right.
And so as we've seen over the years, it's kind of interesting. You know, people come into New England many times to plant a church or to have some kind of ministry. And they find that it's very different than what they were expecting. Many times they don't last very long and they leave. But, you know, those of us that have been born here and live here, it's just part of our culture. And we're used to the kind of the very hard soil.
The frozen chosen.
Yeah, the frozen chosen. So we're kind of used to it. We expect it. And, you know, over the years, as we started, you know, just kind of give you the sequence of events, WARB in Rhode Island was the very first station. It was a 1,000-watt daytime station back then. Now it operates 24 hours a day at 8,000 watts. And so we have significant improvement with that station. We also added an FM translator. So we broadcast on an FM channel in Providence as well. Then WFIF in Milford was the second station. And that's a 5,000-watt daytime station. But we also operate on an FM frequency down there on 101.9. Gives us wonderful coverage of New Haven. And then we have a station in Worcester, WVNE, that's on 760 AM, and that covers Worcester Springfield, and the FM channel there is 101.5. The next station was WBCI in Maine, that's 105.9. That covers Portland, Augusta, and Lewiston, the major metropolitan areas of the state there. Then WDER, which is in New Hampshire, on 1320 AM, and then a 92.1 FM. The 92.1 FM is actually a full power station. And so we have both AM and FM here in New Hampshire. And then the last station to come on board was the one that's near and dear to your heart.
Amen.
Which is WSDK. We operate at 1550 AM there. And then our FM channel is 95.3.
So it's quite a rich history. And as you said, there are tons of stories you can tell on how each of these signals came about. But there must be is there a sense of accomplishment, maybe a little bit of pride or just, relief or just kind of sitting back and smiling to know that after all these decades, you're finally cracking into Boston?
Well, you know, it was always out of reach, you know, for those that really aren't in the radio realm, you know, the prices to get a radio station in Boston in years past have been in the millions of dollars, which is really out of reach for most all of us, except for very large corporations.
So, right.
You know, it's always been a dream and aspiration to be able to go into Boston. But, you know, we've expanded throughout the rest of New England. And just waiting for the Lord to open the door in Boston, which he just did. And of course, station being in a somewhat distressed situation enabled us to financially be able to come in. In fact, we're able to do the station debt free. We don't have to borrow any money to do it.
Amen.
And, you know, in these days of economic uncertainty, that really is a blessing. So it's really been the missing piece. If you were to put a map of New England out in front of you, we cover really all of the major metropolitan areas throughout New England, except Boston. And now that missing piece is being placed in the puzzle.
Well, congratulations. And it is a true blessing and really good news to share. How can life-changing radio listeners pray for this whole process?
Well, you know, there's never been an opportunity, a major ministry opportunity that we've gone into where we haven't really faced some kind of obstacle or opposition. In fact, Al, you probably saw the letter I sent out when we announced that we were getting this station. I said, expect opposition, expect spiritual opposition. And so that was on a Friday. On Saturday, the opposition began. And, you know, I'm not surprised, but at our New Hampshire station, you know, we have a large field behind the studios where we have four broadcast towers. We actually used just three of them during the day. We used the fourth one at night only. And we had a young man out there trying to do some mowing and clearing the field, and he accidentally hit a guy wire, and the tower collapsed.
Oh my goodness.
That is a major, major problem. And so we're having to deal with that very serious problem while we're trying to juggle all these other projects going. So I fully expected something on a major scale. I wasn't quite sure what it would be, but it only took a day to rear its head. But the Lord is good, and we'll get through it.
Amen. Well, Bill Blount, founder, president of Life Changing Radio, thank you so much for joining us today. Blessings on all that you are working on, especially with this new station, WILD 1090 in Boston. Hope to hear that on the air very soon so that folks in the Boston area can listen to great teaching, great programs from Life Changing Radio. Thank you for all you and your family do. And it's an honor. It's a privilege to be a part of this ministry outreach.
Well, thanks, Al. Debbie and I thank you for this time we can talk to the folks and tell them about what the Lord is doing with Life Changing Radio.
Thanks, Bill. Take care.
Thank you.
That was Life Changing Radio President Bill Blount talking about the acquisition of WILD in Boston as he spoke here with Life Changing Radio's Al Kim. Coming up, we'll hear about a recent article found in realclearreligion.org that explains how our Judeo-Christian heritage combines individual wealth with sound financial stewardship. That's straight ahead on Weekend Magazine. Prosperity and Generosity, The Biblical Roots of Capitalism by Charles Mizrahi. A recent article found in realclearreligion.org explains how our Judeo-Christian heritage combines individual wealth with sound financial stewardship, while at the same time, as a good steward, being a friend of the poor and needy. Life Changing Radio's Randy Berkson speaks here with the author, Charles Mizrahi.
Apparently, you were named the nation's number one trader. You were a wildly successful money manager, that's in their words, and you have nearly 40 years of experience recommending stocks. You've taught college. Then you apparently walked away from Wall Street and walked away from the gold, so to speak. So why didn't you stay around there and become even wealthier than you possibly may be at this point?
Well, I still do my own investing, so that didn't change. Managing money for people is, especially institutions, is a very tough game, a very hard game also. It became tougher and tougher as time went on. It became a game of gathering AUM or assets under management, and I was falling way behind, and you become really a marketing machine, and that wasn't a rat race that I want to get into.
You've written a number of articles, and this very recent one called Prosperity and Generosity, the Biblical Roots of Capitalism, and you discuss in it the Judeo-Christian heritage in places. Also in this article, you quote Governor Andrew Cuomo in a remark that he apparently made at the DNC that can be found in realclearreligion.org. And then you refute what Cuomo claims, and you begin to explain why. Well, among other things, the article highlights biblical principles. First of all, what do you wish to communicate in that article?
Well, if there's one takeaway that I want from that article, it's this. Is capitalism is not the problem, it's the solution. And second thing is, don't look to government to solve problems. They don't do that well. And over the past year or so, I'm getting so bothered by the fact that there is a vocal minority screaming at the top of their lungs that capitalism is the cause of all our misfortune, and it couldn't be so off the mark than that.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and we talked about a vaccine for the virus, and we also discussed how it's driven by money. What's your take on that?
Well, it is, right? Anyone who does produce a vaccine is going to, any company that will make money. So what's the problem with that? Why is that a bad incentive?
And that's classic capitalism at work, correct?
Well, think about this. Just look at the facts. We have the largest GDP in the world. We have 330 million people live in this country. We have borders that we have people standing at our borders trying to keep illegal immigration out. People are coming in rowboats. They're digging tunnels. They're climbing over walls to come to the United States. Why is that? Why is that happening here and not in any other country to the extent that we're having it? This morning, Hong Kongers were leaving Hong Kong, and they were captured by the Chinese government, and those 12 people haven't heard from as of yet. Who knows what's going to happen to them? Hong Kong was once a refuge for in the Asian world of people going there, Vietnamese especially, and starting new lives. Now the Chinese have come in and are snuffing out any type of capitalism possible and have it run like a part of China, and the people are leaving. Our country, people are running to. Doesn't that tell you something about our system of government, that our economic system, that our social welfare systems, that they work?
That certainly is true, I would think. And also the fact that this is the free world, the Western world.
Why aren't they running to England? Why aren't they going to France? Why are they coming to the United States? Because this is a country where a kid in his dorm room about 15 years ago could start a business that's worth hundreds of billions of dollars. I'm talking about Facebook. Mm. Or a guy who could leave a hedge fund in 1994 and travel halfway across the country with his wife and write a business plan, and 24 years later, 26 years later, becomes the wealthiest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, with $200 billion and a company which is amazing, to say the least, and employs a million people, giving those families a dignity, a roof over their head, food on the table. Where else does this take place in the world?
As your article covers parts of the Bible that relate to finances and wealth, it states that we're to be good stewards with our money. Some of us have lived long enough to know that investing in the market is taking a risk. It's taking a gamble. And if we gamble with our money, how does that fare with good financial stewardship?
Because stock market investing isn't gambling. Stock market investing, the way it should be, is you buy a stock, which is nothing more than a piece of a business, a piece of a company, and you own it. You used to be buying them based on the fact that you were able to figure out the underlying worth of the business and seeing if the stock price was above or below that. So, for example, if you figured out the worth of a business at $1 billion and the stock market is valuing it at $700 million, you'd be a buyer. So we've taken stock market investing and turned it into a Las Vegas casino with new apps such as Robinhood, where stocks that are worthless or bankrupt soar hundreds of percent in over a week or two, the companies virtually that are worthless. But if you know what you're doing, the stock market is the place of the greatest wealth creator for the Main Street American. One doesn't need to do much, but think about if you invested in Walmart in 1962 or Microsoft in 1986. Just sit back and let those great managers run fantastic businesses, and you get a percentage of that. You would have seen enormous appreciation. Gambling is when there is no influence on the outcome. There's no reason that the ball going around the roulette wheel should fall in black or red. There's no reason. Each time is a random event. But investing, done properly, is a tremendous wealth creator for the average person.
While we're on the subject of the stock market, let's take a look at it. It's continued strong, despite the virus' widespread impact on businesses nationwide. How and why is this so?
Well, I really can't speak to the day-to-day fluctuations of the market because over the short term, it's noise. Over the last several months, we've had a tremendous rally, basically because the market overshot to the downside in March. We never had a pandemic. No one knew how to model what was going to happen in the economy. And first, market just panicked and sellers overwhelmed buyers and pushed prices down. I don't look at the market per se. I look at individual companies or individual businesses and try to buy them lower the stock price. When the stock price is lower than the underlying worth of the business, that's when I want to be a buyer. So I don't need to know much about the stock market or the direction it's going. Because the stock market is nothing more than a market of individual companies.
We're listening to a discussion about prosperity and generosity, the biblical roots of capitalism, a recent article by Charles Mizrahi. Life-Changing Radio's Randy Berkson is speaking with the author.
You say that capitalism, as practiced here in America, is based on Judeo-Christian values. How is that so?
Well, we're the only country on earth that was founded based on Judeo-Christian values, and our founding fathers got it. They got the message. They understood that a person who works, the fruits of their labor belong to them. Keep in mind, we didn't have a federal income tax until the early 1900s. And our country not only survived, but thrived to the point where today we, the American people, are the most generous people on earth. Close to $400 billion is given to charity, and at that, 70% is given by individuals. So if one just looks at the biblical roots of this, is that in the Jewish Bible, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Solomon were all blessed with wealth. Wealth is not a curse, it's a blessing. But it comes with responsibility. The responsibility of the person who has wealth is not to hoard it, not to build storehouses or safes or lock it away and just keep accumulating, but it's to help the underbelly of society, those who the Bible talks about, the widow, orphan, and stranger, those that do not have a social network to help them. So they shouldn't starve in your fields. You leave the corners of your fields uncut because that's for them. When someone who is gathering the gleanings, drop gleanings on the floor. The reaper can't go back and pick them up. Once again, that's for the widow, orphan, and the stranger. So the Bible put in place understanding that there will be economic inequality. In fact, in Deuteronomy, as I wrote the article, actually says there will always be poor in the land, poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-hearted towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. It's not talking about government. It's talking about the individual. We're supposed to give. We're supposed to help those who are less fortunate than us. We're not supposed to be giving someone so they could sit on their bottom while you work and share the profits with them. That's not what it's talking about.
Mm. You also cite in the Bible that wealth and prosperity were signs of blessings from God. Can you explain that? How do you explain it?
Well, blessing, wealth is never a curse. Wealth is, it's not what you have, it's what you do with it. The fact that it doesn't determine what is wealth, what is enormous wealth. If you have whatever you have, and if you give to others who are less fortunate than you, you are a wealthy person. You were blessed by God in order to share, in order to help others. So it's not a dollar amount per se. I know people who make $50,000-$60,000 a year and give a larger percentage of their income to help others than people who are billionaires. Who's the wealthier person there?
I think you were discussing the clarity the Bible shows when it says personal wealth was not meant to be hoarded or used only for self-gratification and advancement. It's also clear that you agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. Though well-intended, you say that government welfare interferes with man's responsibility. And I think you've alluded to this already, but ultimately interferes with man's responsibility to his God and his direct interaction with his community. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's the responsibility of every citizen who has bounty on their table, a roof over their head, food in their belly, to help those who are less fortunate. That's why throughout the country, both secular and religious have organizations and churches and mosques and synagogues and social centers where there are soup kitchens, where there are food banks, where there are fundraisers in order to help those who need. This isn't government. Government is not putting a gun to anyone's head and said, you must help others. Why is it that the American people are such a generous people? Why is it that almost any calamity that happens on earth, we send aid and we send people and we send resources? What other nation after a world war, both one and two, goes to the battlefield and rebuilds those countries from scratch and prevents them from starvation? After World War I, Europe lay devastated. Woodrow Wilson sends Herbert Hoover, future president, to Europe. And because of his brilliant managerial skills and the American resources that he had behind them, they fed 15 million children in 14 different countries. After World War II, the Marshall Plan, we send money, we send food, and we rebuild Europe. But what other nation does such a thing?
I think this question relates to what you've already said, but I think another take on the upshot of the question bears retelling. So you say that in this time of economic uncertainty around the world, we shouldn't look for a global reset or attempt to undo the tenets of capitalism or wait to see what the next round of government bailouts give us. So what should we do instead?
What should we do instead? Look around for the opportunity. Look at the opportunity in this country. I just am so excited because I have no idea what great businesses we're going to find out about 5 years from now that were started during this period of time, during this period of uncertainty. Perhaps the more people that were home and took classes over the internet on coding are going to create a new app that's going to revolutionize who knows what. That was what Uber was. Who knows? Who knows what amazing opportunities there are? My point is, this country is fertile soil, and God willing, will remain fertile soil for opportunity, for people willing to take chances, because we have a system of government in place that has a taxation system which is fair and equitable for the most part, which guarantees our rights as citizens, and basically offers every American opportunity. So what actually is going to come out of this economic uncertainty now, I couldn't even guess. But I will tell you, I'm extremely optimistic, because every time America faced adversity, the greatest fortunes were started during those times.
All right. Prosperity and Generosity, The Biblical Roots of Capitalism by Charles Mizrahi. That was the takeoff point for our discussion that we just had. If anybody wants to get a hold of you or read more about you or the articles that you've written, where do they go?
Well, I have a website up, alphainvestornow.com, alphainvestornow.com. I offer also on that site my newsletter, which is free, 30 days. You just type in your email address, no credit card, nothing else, basically first name and your email address, no strings attached. Because really, it's my mission now to focus on Main Street America and to help them take back their financial future in these trying times and remind them and to rekindle the American dream, which is still alive and will be even greater in the future.
Again, that was Charles Mizrahi discussing his recent article, Prosperity and Generosity, The Biblical Roots of Capitalism, with Life Changing Radio's Randy Berkson. For more information, visit alphainvestornow.com. I'm Matthew Fake.
That wraps up Weekend Magazine for this week. We'll be here again next week at this time and hope you'll make it a plan to join us. The thoughts and opinions expressed on Weekend Magazine do not necessarily reflect those of WVNE or its management. Weekend Magazine is a life-changing radio production.